You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Hi guys, welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. And guess what? It's a bonus episode. I was feeling like it's the end of October and, you know, I needed something to brighten up your week. So I'm hoping that this finds you well. It's been a great TV week. I felt like I was living a TV show this Saturday. I went to dinner with my husband and I ran into Megan and Jim Edmonds. Megan is from Real Housewives of Orange County. And since I had interviewed her before, I went over to say hello. And I have to say, she could not have been nicer. She's very happy to see me and turned to her husband and said, "Jim, this is Kate Casey. I was interviewed by her for her radio show." And she also has a daughter named Sutton. And I have to say, could not have been less interested in not only me, but her and what she was saying. So you know, the fact that she called my show a radio show was already mortifying. And then the fact that he wanted no part of talking to me was equally mortifying and made me feel like I was living in the middle of an episode of Real Housewives of Orange County. So I sort of understand for a moment what that was like. And so I slinked away and went back to my table. And the waitress said she kept saying nice things about my website and that he continued to be totally disinterested, like, yeah, whatever, like, want to eat my ribs. So thank you, Megan, for being so nice to me, even though you have no idea what I do for a living. I am so excited about this bonus podcast episode because I never watched this show, Naked and Afraid. Never. I know what it is. I just never had the pleasure of watching it. So Abby Siegel told me that her father, Bud, who's retired, watches the show, and I thought it would be a hoot to call him and to ask him to watch an episode with me and so we could discuss it. So prepare yourself for that. I also asked Michael Sherman, who is a producer in Los Angeles, to watch an episode of Counting On. There was a wedding special. Joy Ann married Austin Forsythe. They're probably both 21 years old. And Michael is also 21 and a recent college graduate. So I thought it would be fun to compare their experiences, especially since he had never seen the show before. And then also, I got a chance to interview Brandi Redmond from Real Housewives of Dallas. The show, surprisingly, only has two more episodes this season, so it was great to catch up with her. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you gotta get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it. I'm excited to have Brandi Redmond on the phone from Real Housewives of Dallas. As most people know, I've been watching the show since the first episode and been writing recaps for loveandknuckles.com. And so I have had such a great time watching her on the show. So I'm excited to talk to her. So hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Okay. So I had no idea that before you became a Dallas cheerleader, first of all, you were a military brat. And
yes,
I'm not sure if it was before you were a cheerleader or during the time that you were a cheerleader, you also worked for the Department of Defense.
That's correct. I did. I worked for them for several years. I worked in aerospace, NASA, and telemetry, and I did business development with them. And I traveled all over, and my husband would tease me that I was a spy because I could never talk about what I was doing with my security clearance and all that good stuff. But yeah, it was fun. It was definitely different, but yeah.
And that was during the time that you were cheerleading?
I was actually exiting being a cheerleader when I went to work for them. And so it was, I was young, about 22, 23. And I mean, I was cheering at the same time, but it was kind of towards the end of my cheering days.
And then you won a cheerleading scholarship. And after 2 years, you transferred, I believe. And then you tried out for the cheerleaders. And the first time during tryouts, you didn't make it, because you had more of a gymnastics background, and then you trained for the next year to make it and not only made the team, but then you went on to be a captain for a couple of years.
Yes. Oh my gosh, you're so good. Yes, that's exactly right. Yep. I tried out the first year that I tried out, I didn't make it. And I worked my little tail end off for that year, and I had really no technical dancing skills at all. So I kind of got the basics down and then went in and I made it. And I'll tell you what, those rookies have such a hard time. I mean, you're learning different choreography every single night. You're trying to keep up with the veterans, and it really is a lot of hard work. And so anybody that goes through it, I feel awful if you go through the training camp and then, you know, you get cut. So it's better to get cut in the beginning.
Now, be honest with me. Are there ever moments where you wake up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night because you're worried that Judy or Kelly are going to tell you that you need to make weight?
Oh, my goodness. You know, it happened to me a few times where I didn't hit my weight mark. And or you have a dream that you have gone out on the field and you forgot your shorts. I mean, it's like ridiculous stuff. But yes, I am still afraid of Kelly. I don't know what it is, but I think it's just, she has that real intimidation factor. And Judy is more like a mom to the girls because she's with you every single night. And she sees you cry. She sees the sweat, the tears. And Kelly kind of comes in and it's more, you know that she's going to be the biggest critic and hard on you, whereas Judy is more like a soft mom kind of thing.
What is something that you would not expect to hear about your experience as a Dallas cheerleader, like something that was surprising that someone might not expect?
Oh, gosh. A lot of people think that Leanne actually, somebody had told me that she thought that I was married to a Cowboy player at some point. So a lot of people think that, you know, we date the players or you're married to someone, and that's kind of, you know, the thing to do. But there is a no fraternization policy, and you're not allowed to date the players. So, and if you get caught, you are released.
Oh, wow. Okay. So your husband, you met as a child, what, sixth grade was it that you met him?
I met him in seventh grade. And we had just moved to Texas. And he was one of my first little friends.
And then how old were you when you got married?
Oh, gosh, I was 25. So, yeah, I was very young.
And now, and then you had children and then went back and cheered some more.
Well, what I did was All Stars, which is, you know, you're invited to do that. And so, yes, I had Brooklyn, and then I went back to do All Stars, and that's so you don't try out. And, you know, there's so many of the ladies, and it's really, the uniform is iconic. So people think that, you know, like it's not really, you know, you that they know, it's the uniform that they know. So, and there's so many of the ladies, there's, I believe, like 36 at one given time. But yeah, so they don't know that you're not currently on the squad. So when you go perform and do appearances and stuff, it's just so the other girls are not available. If they have practice or there's a game or something, then they send the All-Stars to do stuff.
Now, would you ever watch that show, the Dallas Cowboys Cheerleaders? Or is that just too close to home?
Oh, my gosh. Well, their pilot season was my last year as a current cheerleader. So my fifth year was the pilot season. So it definitely changed the dynamic, I feel like, with the girls, because it really did feel like a sisterhood and a sorority kind of thing. And then, you know, with the show, it just becomes a lot more, I don't know what it is, but I felt like it just changed the whole I'm in the mood of it. So, and I, you know, I've watched it, but it's really hard because my heart really does go out for those girls because I know the feeling of what it's like to, you know, not be the best dancer or to be on a weight warning or that feeling that you're trying so hard and it's just like you just can't get it. And so it's just really, hard for me to watch.
So from there, you settle down with your family, or you stay at home mom, and then you get a call from a friend that she had recommended you for a show that was going to go into production in Dallas. But I understand that you didn't know that it was going to be a housewife show. It was going to be something like Dallas Moms or another topic.
You know, it was very strange. I remember when the casting people came they just did a phone interview, and I believe they were calling the show How to Make It in Dallas. And I literally said that I don't, the only thing that I make in Dallas is a bed. I'm not trying to, I appreciate the social life and all of that that Dallas has to offer, but I'm not somebody that's going to go and do appearances and go to every event just to be seen. And that was the feeling that I was getting from the way that the direction that the people were going. And I think that's probably one of the reasons they liked me, because I was so different from that. And then of course my friendship with Stephanie. So we did that interview, and I feel like, that the show was greenlit right away. And my husband was like, yeah, that'll be fun. Cause I'd auditioned for things in the past and I'd gotten things that I'd turned down just cause I knew it wasn't the right fit. And I kept thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to be so fun. I'm doing it with Stephanie and it's going to be easy because it's going to be right here, in our home. And so I'm still going to be able to be a mom and a wife and all that good stuff. So my husband, once he found out that I was what it was and what I was doing, he started to kind of backtrack a little bit, and he did not feel comfortable on camera. It just was different for him, and he's not like me. Like I love to entertain and be in the spotlight, and he's more, he's funny, but he's very, business and more private. I told him, I said, let me do it this one year. And then, if you don't want me to do it again, at least I had the opportunity and I got to do it. And I told him when they came around for season two, if you don't want me to do it, I won't. But he said, nope, you're going to go back. I've got this. Don't worry about it. And sure enough, that's what I did.
So can you kind of explain to people, because it's easy for us as viewers to watch the show, but we have no idea what it would be like to be A, on camera ourselves, but also to have our partner who's wired differently be on camera. So can you explain sort of like how that works? Like, is it really uncomfortable? Is that sort of like a period of time you've got to get acclimated? Do you have these thoughtful conversations about like, well, this isn't what I expected? I would just assume that it would be pretty hard to get used to the cameras, and that for any couple, that would be a transition.
Yeah. I feel like, during the first, we were all over the place. Like, it was very hard to really get comfortable with what was going on. And I think that with, the second time around, I think that I give kudos to the production company. I think they did a really good job with bringing in an amazing crew that really, they were so sensitive to, hey, we know he doesn't want to be on camera, so they were sensitive to that, to where they really worked with him to make him feel comfortable. And that was really the key. And, so he's just not thrown into something where he's like, WTF, what is happening, And I think that really for anyone going into it, you have to know what you're getting into. And if you don't, you really do feel like a hot mess and you look like a hot mess. So, I would say to anybody going on a reality show, just make sure that, you know what you're getting into, and you figure out what kind of pushes your buttons and you're sensitive about, because whatever it is, they're probably going to go after.
And then how do you ensure that you stay connected as a married couple? It's almost like you're in this tornado. So how can you stay connected as a couple?
It was very eye-opening, because looking in and seeing what was happening, I could see myself like not being his biggest cheerleader. When he was working his rear end off, like trying to make a successful career and be a great provider. At the same time, I was not amazing. Thank you for what you're doing, and I appreciate it. Instead, I was just, excuse me, but bitching all the time, like, you're never home, I never see you, I'm doing this alone, I feel like a single parent, you know, those type of things. Whereas I should have been complimenting him, and then in return, he would have probably done the same thing to me and given me the attention that I wanted. So I definitely saw where I just was missing the mark with communicating with him. And but through that, you know, we learned and we grew from the experience. And, you know, we went to counseling, and I think that we're stronger and better than ever. And you know, and we renewed our vows, and it was, you know, just awesome. It was just private, just friends and family. And so, yeah, so I feel like it made us stronger at the same time.
And then you're on the show with your dear friend, and you go through just you went through a period of time where you were not talking, and then you made up. How is what's it like being a cast member of a show with somebody that you're really close friends with? It does the publicity and watching the show and repeat and other people in the cast, like, does that make it, does that complicate friendships? And if so, how do you get that back on track despite being on this, like, hugely watched reality show?
Yeah, you know, it is crazy. I think that, you know, you learn a lot about yourself, and you see things. You learn a lot about other people, you know, with an experience like this. And I feel like, you know, I never tried to be this pageant perfect person, but I know that, you know, some people, they do want to fit a certain image, and I get that. And I think it's great that, you know, people are different. That's what makes us all unique. But at the same time, I think, like, it does challenge you with, for me, it challenged me, you know, looking in, like, oh my gosh, I feel like maybe I put myself out there a little bit too much when others were a little bit more reserved and pulled back and very, you know, closed off with certain subjects and things that they would share with everyone. At the same time, I have to say that I am also proud of myself, because without being who I am and authentic to every part of what's going on with me, then, you know, I don't think that I would be as relatable as I am. And I hope that if anyone can learn from my experiences and grow, then they can do it from me, because I make mistakes, and I know everyone else does, but I just choose to share mine with everyone.
So when you're filming, do you feel like, what percent of the time are you holding your tongue?
Oh gosh. You know, I pretty much say whatever. And, I really don't cuss that much. So I was actually shocked to hear myself cuss so much this past season. I'm like, oh my gosh, I've never kissed more in my life, and I try to watch it as much as I can, especially with the children. So I feel like this season I was a little bit more like, oh yeah, I just kind of let loose with everything that I was feeling and saying, and into the point to where, you know, with the stuff with Carrie and I right now, I'm, you know, 110% ashamed of myself for, you know, what I said. And but it's like, you live and you learn, and you have to grow from it. Or if you keep being that person that you don't want to be, then it makes you a toxic person where nobody else wants to hang out with you. And that's not who I want to be.
What was the impact of sudden fame? Because the show starts airing, and was it easier for you than others because you had already been in the spotlight? Do you feel like you had thick skin because of the Dallas cheerleader experience, or was it hard at all?
Oh gosh. I'm not the biggest, like, social media person, and people know that. I think the only time I really am on Twitter is if I'm on a long airplane ride and I have nothing else to do, but I'm not a big social media person. So I know that some people comment after every single comment, but I try to, you know, I just try to live in the moment and not on social media. But I do want to say thank you to everybody that says sweet things. But at the same time, there are some nasty, negative people out there, and, you know, and the things that they say can be very hurtful. And so I've just chosen, all in all, to just give a gracious thank you for the support, but I'm not going to let those negative things affect me, because I know that, you know, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody has their own issues and things that they're dealing with. I just choose to put mine out there. So I get it, that I'm putting myself out there to be judged, but, you know, I'm just going to choose not to buy into the negativity.
So that's the second season, and you have some new cast members, and so we're like halfway through the season now. Maybe are we halfway through?
Yeah, we are. You know what? We are almost to our finale tonight. Tonight is our, oh my gosh, I guess it's our 11th episode, and we have 12 and then a reunion. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
So we're almost over.
So this season, the show sort of mirrors, you know, the real life itself. It seems that Dallas is a city where class is really important. And do you think that the show sort of reflected that in the way of Cameron's relationship with you? It was just sort of a microcosm of the class issue in Dallas.
I think that a lot of the women in Dallas, they're very classy, elegant. But at the same time, I don't look at somebody and say, oh my gosh, you're so classy and elegant. And what are you wearing? To me, I don't try to judge people. I try to make eye contact with them and not look at, past that. But I think it is kind of crazy that it is, I think a lot of places are like this, but it does seem very materialistic. And sometimes I'm like, okay, are you defining class by where you live, what you're wearing, what you're driving? Because sometimes I feel like that's class to people.
Right. And then did you know the Deandra and Cameron before they joined the show?
I had met Deandra a few times, but I did not know Cameron.
And then your relationship with Leanne, you guys became friends in between the seasons, and then it sort of on the show, it seemed to flicker out. Are you still friendly now, or was it just too hard with the show?
When we were in Austin last season, I really did start warming up to Leanne and, seeing the fun side to her. And so I feel like, leaving season one, I just felt like we were in a good place. And, we became friends. I wouldn't say we were best friends. A lot of people like to say that, but we were not best friends. I mean, there are things that, I find very sacred and that I would only share with certain people, when it was such an intimate thing with, having a miscarriage and things like that. Those are things that I never shared with Leanne. And to me that, should tell people, look, yeah, we are friends, we can be acquaintances and friends, but, yeah, there's friends that you share deep things with, and then there's surface friends.
I also think sometimes you can meet someone and you can have a connection with them. You can have a lot of fun. But it takes some time for you to realize that you need to keep them at an arm's distance, because experiences teach you that you can't necessarily trust them with personal information. So that's just a process of friendship and growing older is, when you meet somebody, sometimes it takes time to like weed people out. So I can understand that.
You're so right.
It just takes time. What has been the greatest experience from this process, and what has been the highlight and the low light?
Oh gosh, I think that the highlight is that, I think it's really important, because with doing this experience, I think that it's important that, you're actually getting something out of it, because otherwise you're just putting yourself out there for nothing. And I think the highlight for me is that I'm learning more about who I am, and it's testing me in ways that I never dreamed of. And it makes you feel very vulnerable at times, and it's crazy, and it's a crazy experience. But and so I'm very thankful for the experience and the things that I've learned and gone through. And I think, the low part is that it's kind of the same thing, but it's that, you do learn the negativity, the things that are negative about yourself. And but you now have the opportunity to see it, and now you have the opportunity to fix it. And I think that that's a blessing.
Are you at all afraid of Leanne? Like, if you were in an alley, would you bring a pocket knife in your back pocket just in case?
Oh my gosh. It depends. I mean, depends if Leanne has been drinking or if she's medicated. I think there has to be some, we have to have rules for this alley.
And then do you ever want to drink tequila again after that trip?
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love tequila. Tequila is an upper, not a downer. I love tequila.
And then if you could make up, my friend Brian is gay and lives in the city with his partner, who's a high risk fertility doctor, but just as an aside, and they want to hang out with you. They want to know if they can ever hang out with you at the roundup.
Oh yeah. Of course. Yes.
And then they also wanted to know if you could make up taglines for the women in the cast. Give me some of the taglines you would have given to them.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You know, I did make some up. and I gave them to the producers.
I know, but you never told what that dynamite tagline is. Will you ever reveal that?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You know what? I hope that, you know, if we do a season 3 and if I return for season 3, that I will get to use it. And so I don't want to give it away, but I will say that I did make up a tagline for Sexual Chocolate, and his is, "Some wieners come and go, but this Oscar is here to stay."
That's pretty good. If you could make one up for Cameron, outside of what she already has, what would it be?
Oh gosh. Oh my gosh. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I am currently trying with Cameron. So.
Well, sometimes it takes people a little while to get to like somebody, but then sometimes it takes you 5 minutes to realize that you're not meant to be. It just sort of is a process, don't you think?
Yeah.
So what do we have to look forward for the last 2 episodes?
Oh my goodness. It's really, really good. It's really, really good. You're going to see an intense moment between Leanne and Mark, which is absolutely amazing. I was like, oh my God, Mark, you just killed it. He was so just on point. And then, you know, so that's coming up, and you get to see Cameron's doggy sparkle launch, which was pinktastic. And, you know, and then you get to see Leanne's engagement party coming up, which is fun and exciting for her.
Did I just hear Leanne say in an interview that Mark tried to touch her boobs?
You know, I heard that. Some people were talking about it, and I did not hear it personally, but I did hear there were people talking about it actually to me last night. So I was like, well, I mean, I don't know if Leanne can decide what Mark is, if he's
gay. I know, that's a mystery.
So that's going to be probably going into season 3. Mark is now after.
Now he's after Leanne. Wow. Well, maybe they could, he could divorce Carrie and then they could get married at the fair.
Oh, yeah, that would be fun.
Yeah, that'd be come full circle with the dog food as appetizers with plastic glasses.
Oh my gosh, it's too funny. I don't know. I have a hard time. Mark is like literally obsessed with Carrie, like, you know, I mean that in the best way. I mean, they're so lovey-dovey, and I mean, it's really cute, but at the same time, it makes you want to puke because I can't give my husband a whole hand. So.
Right.
he just like dotes over her, and I mean, it really is the most precious thing, and they have such a beautiful family. So I have a hard time believing that Mark would, you know, have anything to do with Leanne and that way at all.
So tell everybody what you've got going on and where they can find you.
You know, I'm actually in LA right now, and I was here actually supporting ACT today. I have a little brother with autism, so it's very near and dear to my family's heart. So I was here supporting that yesterday and last night. And then today I've been meeting with our manufacturers and all that good stuff for our clothing line for Brandylia. And for those of you that don't know, my husband and I, we have a marina company, and we have marinas all over. And so going forward, we just wanted to do something that kind of was in the resort marina nautical type thing, but something that you can dress up or down. You can wear to the, you know, out to dinner with wedges, or just wear it with flip-flops, or throw on, you know, a cover up, all that good stuff. So that's kind of what we're doing, and you can find it on brandyland.com, and you can follow me on my Instagram. It's just Brandy Redmond, Twitter, Brandy Redmond. So all that good stuff.
Oh, good. We'll send our best to your family, and I appreciate you taking your time.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. And
thank you
so much for your time. Just let me know.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KateCasey for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KateCasey to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/KateCasey.
Discovery Channel has a show called Naked and Afraid. It is basically a show where they take two complete strangers, a man and a woman, and they have to meet in a very unique way, which is totally buck naked and stranded in a dangerous, desolate location without food and water. And each episode follows those two people as they attempt to survive on their own for not one, but 21 days with nothing but one personal item each and the knowledge that the only prize is their sense of pride and accomplishment if they should survive those 21 days. I have asked Bud Siegel, who lives in Connecticut, has been married 52 years to his wife, is retired, and happens to watch the show, to go over an episode. It's from last season, and it's the Belize Breakdown episode. So, Bud, how are you?
I'm fine. Great. You?
I'm good. So, tell me, first of all, how you found this show.
Word of mouth. I had a lot of friends whose children watched it, and the title sounded great, and I figured I'd see a bunch of naked people running around, so I thought I'd give it a shot.
Okay. Now, the two contestants is Corey. He's from Alaska. He's a YouTube star. He was very happy to tell us that he has over a million followers on several different platforms. He is with a girl named Anastasia, and she's a pro surfer. Also proud to say she's got 3.5 million followers. I have never heard of either of these people. So she's 30, from San Clemente. So she's used to being in the sun and has been outside her whole life. She says she's basically walked barefoot her entire life. And he makes videos out of his home in Alaska, presumably because there's nothing to do in Alaska. Again, I've never heard of him before. Had you ever heard of these two people?
Nor have I ever heard of them. And my guess is we'll probably never hear from them again.
So they were dropped in Monkey Bay in Northwest Belize, which is basically the middle of nowhere. And they drop them at a time where the humidity is so high that they have an infestation of insects. So basically this is the absolute worst place to be, especially for Anastasia, who has a problem with snakes and bugs and spiders just in general. Were you surprised that she said that she called herself a princess at one point? Were you surprised that someone who refers to themselves as a princess would be willing to do this experiment?
Well, what was interesting is they are not two normal contestants on the show. They are amateurs who've watched the show over the years and wrote in and asked to be on the show. And therefore, they did a 14-day episode instead of a 21-day episode or a double episode, which some have done in the past. So they were uniquely unqualified for the show. And probably the most honest thing she said was that, notwithstanding she had a cute personality, she was a princess.
I felt like he was a little bit overconfident when he got there. he seemed to dismiss the fact that when they walked up to each other, that she was totally nude. Like, it's no big deal. I think he was overdoing it. And if I were his wife, I would probably have a problem with my husband going into the jungle and not being able to wear clothes the entire time. It seemed a little bit odd, but he did not seem to have any problem with it. Did it seem strange to you?
Yes and no. First of all, he made a mistake because he comes out of Alaska, which is not a hot and humid climate. So now he enters into, and they probably never had sand flies except for 2 days in the summer. So now he goes to Belize, which is loaded with sand flies and God knows what else. So he was ill-equipped, and, you know, I don't know how a wife would think, but, you know, you're stuck in the jungle, you know what the program is, and I guess it's not a big deal, or he didn't make a big deal out of it. Usually they make a big deal out of it, but on this one they didn't make a big deal out of it.
Do you think at any point he thought about wanting to make out with her, or he was just too consumed with the fact that he was probably going to get hypothermia?
I think he was shivering so much, even if he wanted to make out, whether he probably couldn't, whether he should have grabbed onto her for body warmth is another story, but she was so bitten up, I'm not really sure that was an attractive option.
She was bitten up so bad that I couldn't watch it anymore because it was making me physically ill. I don't understand why anybody would do this show. And how much money do they actually win if they complete this whole task?
I don't know. And I've always wondered that because I really, having spent some time in the military a long time ago, and in that kind of a climate, I certainly would not volunteer to go on a show unless it was financially rewarding.
Do you think you would have been able to make it through this had you been done this experience at maybe like 32 years old?
No, because I think I would have been intelligent enough not to have done it. I didn't really want to go in the military either. So this was not something I had looked forward to. So I kind of get amused with the show because a couple of years ago, they had an Army Special Forces major on it. And he was sensational. I mean, he could have stayed out there for the rest of his life as far as I could figure out. He was a happy camper. And the gal he was with wasn't terribly good. But by the time he got done, she was terrific also. So it really takes a different sort of person. And the ones whose ego, like Corey's, which says, I can handle anything, they don't have a clue what it's all about.
No, not at all. And what they gave them was a mosquito net that they could sleep in, some duct tape, which makes no sense to me, an emergency radio, a map, and bamboo. Listen, when they first started the show and they said to them, listen, heads up, there are insects here that might bite you and create a flesh-eating disease, I think I would have left. I don't know. I don't think I would have stayed, especially since I don't even like to get naked when I get out of my own shower. How long do you think you would have lasted?
Me?
Yeah.
Depends on the money. If it was just for my ego, I wouldn't have done it, and it probably would have lasted a day.
Yeah.
You know, for a lot of money, I probably would have figured out how to last.
Right.
I would not have been a happy camper, and I wouldn't have been on – they wouldn't have kept me on the show because I've been moaning and groaning the whole time. But, you know, there's certain people out there who, you know, actually do really well on this thing. And frankly, the mosquito netting thing was a good idea because you can use it for fishing, which he did one day, caught 21 little minnows or whatever those things were, and never fished again. So I'm not really sure where his head was because the only animals were the ones, you know, floating around at night, which they, you know, I've seen the same guys before. You know, that's the same jaguar I've now seen for about 6 years. So, you know, I think they move that jaguar from every different locale. And, you know, I don't know why people go on it unless it's for the money or they're narcissists, one or the other.
Right. Do you think that your daughter, Abby, could withstand the jungle?
You got to be kidding.
No? What about your wife?
No.
Oh, so are you going to watch any more episodes of the show?
Yeah. Problem is it comes on at 10 o'clock at night on Sunday night here. And what I did notice, because my connection broke down, so I then went to On Demand, and Discovery no longer has it on demand. It used to be on demand, so I could binge watch it when the weather was bad.
Right.
So I ended up picking it back up on some esoteric channel, so I'm not sure where I saw it.
again today. I'm not sure I'd want, you know, these guys started out with a PSR, which is a personal safety rating or some kind of rating. He started out with a 3.9 and she started out with a 3.2. I don't think I've ever seen anybody finish that low, let alone start out that low.
Oh, really? Oh, man. Wow. Not good. Not good. So my last question is, do you think that where do you think is the worst location that you've ever seen this show, the where they've dropped contestants? What's the absolute worst place that you've seen?
I think the one in Thailand.
Oh, that sounds bad.
That was a couple of years ago. That was, you know, a lot of different kind of snakes and big cats and everything else like that. I certainly wouldn't want to do that one. I actually wouldn't want to do any of them, you know.
Did anybody find love on these shows?
I'm not sure. I think they've hooked up, obviously. I've seen allusions to that. But basically, you know, the girls get so bitten up and they're moaning and groaning most of the time about how unhappy they are. It's got to be a stretch.
Well, I mean, of course they're moaning and groaning. Who would want – you have no razor. You have no toothbrush. Your teeth probably feel like fur caps on your teeth. It's probably so disgusting. Why would you want to hang out or make out? And is it only 21 days because the woman inevitably is going to get her period?
Yeah, but you got to time it right. But, you know, in the jungle, the period doesn't matter. It is what it is.
So you know, what if she gets her period? Do they give her anything to wear?
How would I know? They don't show it on TV, so you know you got to call the editors. Apparently, they got 5 or 6 people who spend their whole time looking at the screen, pixeling out all the good stuff.
Wow! Oh my God!
I read that in the New York Times. All the news fit the print.
Oh, it said it in the New York Times. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, Bud, this has been a true joy, and I know that I'm not going to let anyone know where to find you because you don't want to be found.
True.
Okay, well, thank you for your service.
No problem.
Okay.
Are you being serious or facetious? Because I hate that term.
No, I'm being serious. I will not tell anybody where they can find you, so you can stay in anonymity.
Good. I prefer that.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Michael Sherman is an assistant on the podcast Anna Faris is Unqualified, as well as an assistant for the writers on the Freeform show Famous in Love. He recently graduated from UCLA, which is my husband's alma mater. He is 21 years old, loves The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, lives in Los Angeles, and because he's 21, I thought it would be perfect for him to watch a wedding special that aired this month, I believe, on TLC, the wedding of Joy Ann Duggar and Austin Forsythe. Joy Ann is, of course, part of the large Duggar family, all of these people get married very young because their rules for courtship are that they can only side hug until the wedding day, and that's when they can have their first kiss. Michael, were you aware of this family beforehand?
I had heard of the Duggars, like, through that whole, molesting or whatever that horrific thing that happened in the news. I think I heard about that, or I thought it was incest or something. But that is all I was aware of, that they're a very big family.
So she's the fifth child to get married. They almost all of them have been married under the age of 21. One of the sisters, Jana, I believe she's like 25, 26. She's basically an old hag. Some people have speculated that she could actually be in the closet. I'm just assuming there's just a small pot of people to choose from in that Denke town in Arkansas. Yeah. And maybe she's just hedging her bets for somebody that's better. In fact, the father tried to hook her up with Tim Tebow, that football player.
Oh my God, yeah.
And I think he was like, you guys are super weird. I'm out. That's not going to work for me.
Weird. They were a little, that family is interesting. That was my first time ever watching anything with them. And I was like, I'm not a religious person. So that was probably why I was really turned off by them. Cause I was like the amount of mess when they were just talking about God and God and God and God, which is good and all, but I did not realize it was, I had no idea anything about
it. It's a little bit overkill. For example, when Austin talks about why he likes Joy, it's like most of the things that he says have to do with the Lord and less about her. It's
yes.
Like, well, she loves the Lord. The Lord is with her. The Lord is around us, but not like, I really enjoy the conversations we have. I'm really inspired by how hard she works. No, nothing like that. Like normal conversations that people have before they get married. It was a lot about the Lord. So I understand your concerns. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I was very fascinated with I couldn't stop laughing when they mentioned when they were designing, when the wedding planner was discussing the design on the stage. And she was like, he imagines her like running through a field. And like something, he was like comparing her to something religious, possibly God. And I was just like,
yeah, but what he didn't understand
was like confused.
He didn't really explain himself well, because what he did was he envisioned her in a douche commercial. That's what a douche commercial has. It's like a woman running through fields. And also she didn't even wear appropriate shoes at her wedding. I mean, you're someone who probably appreciates a good pair of shoes living in Los Angeles. She wore like Payless sandals. It was really depressing.
That's really, yeah, I was very, it's so funny because just this whole family, I was like, who are these people? And I think, okay, I'll admit, the first thing that was going through my mind is, why are people watching this family? Is it because they have so many children? Is it because they're like, what are they supposed to signify? That's what I was confused with.
I think that when someone is on television as a child, people have a fascination with following their life. Like, what happens? Do they want to see the whole process end? So now that she's married and possibly having children, I think they'll stay in for that amount of time and then they'll drop out at some point. I do have to say, I've seen some other weddings of theirs, and I feel like they've upped their game. I mean, the other ones were really poorly done, but this one at least had like some nice color scheme. I do have to say that the food they served at the reception was bizarre. Did you see that they were eating popcorn?
Yes.
Popcorn and Swedish fish? And you know they don't serve alcohol.
That was the weirdest wedding ever, because I was like, what are they? Like, honestly, at first I thought they were like little cups of like cake and stuff, which I was like, first of all, why are they serving dessert wedding like as the meal? And it also, it felt more like it didn't even feel like a wedding reception. It felt, I was confused, and I wasn't even sure if like all those people there were associated with like who actually knew this family or not. So that was all weird in itself, and it felt very cheap for being on TV. It felt like a very cheap wedding.
Also, no one really dressed up for the wedding. I mean, the people that were in the pews, it looked like they just came off the farm, or they went like stopped by the fast food place down the street. No one was dressed up. What did you think about the fact that they're not allowed to show physical affection? So they're always standing next to each other, couples, like they've just competed in Dancing with the Stars. Like when the guy's behind and the girl's sort of in front, it's really weird.
Yeah. That was really uncomfortable. I mean, a lot of it was uncomfortable because I'm from LA, and so I'm like not used to it, watching people in this, like, very 1950s in many ways, where like even was reminding me of the time, like I could just imagine that being like when on Lucy's show when they slept in separate beds. I could picture these people like that, not having any sort of intimacy, except there was when like they kissed at the wedding, he kissed her a few more times, which I think I was shocked by that, which is such a weird thing to be shocked by.
I felt that's the problem, is that they're not allowed to have a first kiss until the wedding, so it feels like you're invading their privacy, because you know that they, like, his hard on is so big, you just know it, and it's so uncomfortable. I also think that the parents were pissed when the confetti guns went off, because that was not discussed beforehand. And the woman who was the wedding planner sort of pulled a fast one on them.
She was weird, I thought.
What did you think about the flowers on the stage? They were sort of strewn about, like, in no sort of formation.
Yeah, those flowers were very, they were distracting, weirdly. I'm going back to it felt very cheap. And then again, I have no idea how much money these people have, because I don't know anything about them. But I feel like if you're going to do something, I'm not saying it had to be Kim's fairy tale wedding, but it had to, you know, I felt like they could have done something a little bit nicer and a little bit more less tacky. Feel very tacky.
What did you think about the part where they went against tradition and they saw each other before the wedding and she asked his insight on her hair? Like, should I wear a veil? Should I wear it down? And he's like, I basically don't care. Do whatever you want. No, I really need you to tell me. What are the hopes for this relationship based on that communication?
Well, I'm like, if this family is so conservative and so religious, then I honestly don't understand why they would even. Then again, if they're already like all their values and stuff are already being challenged because they're on TV. So I doubt that they're going to do everything exactly the exact way that they promise it will be. So I have a feeling like before the wedding, that I weirdly think that was probably a TV thing that like they needed more, because honestly, when I was watching it, I was waiting for like a lot of drama, just because that's what I'm used to on reality shows, and there wasn't really much like intense drama. So and when I noticed that, I was like, oh god, how will this be entertaining? I don't think this relationship is going to be. Actually, these types of people, it probably will last for a while, because they have nothing else. They're God forbid they break up.
Exactly.
God forbid that would be.
Okay.
I know. And
two things I noticed at the wedding was, number one, they had some brother-in-law stood up on stage and said, thanks everybody for coming. And then the couple went on and they were like, well, we got to get out of here. I'm like, you basically just showed up to your reception and now you got to go. What are you guys doing? So that was weird.
I know.
Right?
Yeah. I thought the entire like way the wedding ceremony was organized was also just weird, because it felt I blanked out. Where was this wedding being held at? Was that at that wasn't a church, was it? It didn't feel like.
For those who did not watch it, I can't even believe I'm telling people this. Picture yourself at a wedding and the woman goes to throw the bouquet. But instead of throwing it into a group of women, and by the way, I saw a bunch of 5-year-olds get in line. I would be pissed if I was single. I'd be like, get the hell out of here. You're not going to get married for at least 10 years, so move on. She turns around. She hands the bouquet to Kendra, who's this very sweet girl with terrible hair. And her brother proposes to her at her wedding reception, and she didn't mind. Like, they orchestrated it together.
Okay. That was the weirdest. I don't know if I could curse on this, but that was the weirdest fucking thing I have ever seen at a wedding, in terms of like completely, you're on TV. This is supposed to be all about you. It's your wedding day. It's supposed to be it's like a bar mitzvah. It's a wedding day. It's a time when it's all about you, and everyone knows that and expects that. And then she completely gives the attention to the sister. Like, I mean, the brother in the, and like getting like his whole like marriage proposal, that I thought was really like, I don't even know how to describe that. I thought that was just weird. I wouldn't want, I don't know how they could go back to bringing the attention back to them. Honestly.
I don't know either, but I'm going to give you a doozy, or I don't know if you're prepared for this.
What is it? Oh, God.
So this couple wed this past May. They were supposed to get married in October, but they mysteriously pushed up the date, and now they're expecting a baby, and people think they boned before, and that she was pregnant, and that's why they moved the wedding up. So there's all this, like, the Lord and following the rules stuff, but despite the fact these two families are from incredibly religious families, there's speculation that she did the deed before the wedding. The family does not like him, apparently. There's a report that said that they thought he was immature, arrogant, and lacked experience, and that apparently he broke a courtship rule. He touched her hand when they were renovating a home, because they're like the flip-floppers of Arkansas. That's how they make their money, I guess. So he violated Yeah, he touched her hand. So everybody was really, really pissed off. And then the PDA continued. They hugged after she accepted his marriage proposal. They actually hugged each other, and they felt like, they feel like he's a little bit of a rebel.
Yeah. I love how he's a rebel for touching his, touching a girl's hand. No, I think it's really, it's all just weird. It's all like uncomfortable for me to even like think about, because I, then again, these people, this is the norm for them, I guess. And this is considered like, and this is what they're used to and what they chose, I shouldn't even say they chose this, because they grew up with it, but still, all their controversy and stuff. It's so funny, because if you mention any of this controversy to anyone like elsewhere, they just like start laughing and be like, are you serious? That's what you guys are upset about? That's like touching your hand? Okay, go away.
It's crazy.
It's so stupid. So it really is. It's insane.
So where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at M Shermanator, like Shermanator from American Pie, but it is spelled M-S-H-E-R-M-A-N, the number 8, O-R, and then my Instagram is at Shermanator. Same thing, but just no M at the beginning.
That sounds very complicated, the Twitter.
I know, it was. There was no, Shermanator was not available. But, so I was like, ugh, I guess I'd do M Shermanator.
But we're going to follow you. Everyone's going to follow you anyway.
Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
The Amazing Kate Casey.
I want to thank you guys for tuning in to this bonus episode. Please pass on to your friends. Make sure you're telling your friends about my Facebook group. Go to the search bar on Facebook and put in Reality Life with Kate Casey. You can deep dive about reality shows, rant about shows you watched this week, and talk about nostalgia shows like Real World, etc. You can go to my website, www.loveandknuckles.com. I write recaps of television shows during the week. You can go to my Facebook page, Love and Knuckles. My Twitter page is at Kate Casey. I love to tweet during shows. My Instagram, please check out my Instagram. It is at KKCCA, and you can see me in my whoopee cushion costume all over town. And most importantly, make sure you go to iTunes and give me a 5-star review. It really helps my ranking. I so appreciate everyone who has left a review. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Even the person that told me that I was too mean when I was talking about the Kardashians. So have a great week, and I will actually have another episode in a few days, so make sure you pay attention to that.
Once upon a beat. Remember the stories and fables that captured your imagination when you were young? We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remixed and reimagined for the kids in your life today. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a music-filled weekly party hosted by me, DJ Fuse, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, spinning tales in the New Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat, where hip-hop and fables meet. Hey, grown-ups, listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.
Once Upon a Beat.